Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. In our gospel text this morning, St. Matthew sums up Jesus' entire earthly ministry prior to his crucifixion in three words: teaching, preaching, and healing. Jesus teaches his word so that the people might come to him to faith. Faith in him and abide in his word and know the truth of his word. And by the power of his word, be set free from sin and the power of the devil. This teaching is nothing more than the proclamation of his gospel, the good news of the kingdom of God who has entered into creation by Jesus' incarnation. God's kingdom is now in their very midst, just as he continues to be in our very midst today by means of word and sacrament. Jesus left his kingdom of glory, put on the flesh of man, to bring his power and his gracious reign to the earth. Now you and I might wonder why the Holy Spirit inspired Matthew to list Jesus' physical healings last. He said, teaching, preaching, and healing, when we look at health as the highest good. It seems like health would be really important, these healings. Jesus performs miraculous healings of all sorts of diseases and afflictions. The lame walk, the dead are raised, the blind see, and demons are cast out. Also in our day today, many people look at Jesus' teachings and his miracles and draw the conclusion that the priority of the Christian church should be the social gospel, improving health care, purifying water, battling inequality, poverty, and racism and crime. And indeed, social justice is good, right, and salutary for every Christian. But God does desire that we love our neighbors as ourselves. But social justice is not the highest good. Social justice is not the reason our Lord left the glory of heaven and was made man. You see that each and every person that Jesus feeds and heals and casts out a demon from, that person only lives to die another day. And all people die. And the only thing that matters when you are lying on your deathbed is whether you have life-saving faith in Christ so that you might pass from death into eternal life. Now, in St. John's Gospel, he refers to Jesus' miraculous works as signs. Signs that point to the fact that Jesus is indeed God's own Son in the flesh of man, who entered his creation to seek and save the lost. God's reign and rule has come to earth in the flesh of man and is overpowering the devil and all afflictions of sin and sickness, and especially granting spiritual healing. Spiritual healing and salvation to all who believe. Matthew records in our text, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. God's compassion goes far and above any sort of human emotion because it is rooted in his love. And the Old Testament, in spite of all of Israel's rebelliousness against God, he still had compassion on them. He had compassion on his people as well as on his whole creation. And even though at times in the Old Testament God would pour out his wrath on his rebellious people, in his rich love, mercy, and compassion, he would also revive them and restore them. In the New Testament, God's own Son reflects the Father's compassion in his dealings with fallen humanity. Jesus loves and cares deeply about all people with a compassion that is much different than human compassion. In the original language, this compassion is a gut-wrenching compassion, the movement of the inward parts that moves deep within inside of Jesus. That word compassion is only used in Scripture to describe the compassion that Jesus has. It is heartfelt, rich love and compassion that is a very part of Jesus' essence. He cares deeply about all mankind's salvation. Jesus tells us that he is indeed the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He seeks his people in peril while being harassed and helpless, harassed by false shepherds who, instead of nurturing them and pointing to them salvation in Jesus, are misleading them by getting them to focus on their works and following false shepherds. They direct them away from Jesus. These false shepherds also blaspheme Jesus. They declare him as the prince of demons. The people are harassed by a myriad of bodily afflictions in body and soul, all sent by the devil himself. And much more than their physical condition, much worse than their physical condition is their spiritual condition. Like I said earlier, just like you and me, those people's good health is not their highest priority. Health is not mankind's highest priority, because your highest priority is your faith and confession in Christ Jesus. Like the crowds before Jesus, apart from faith and trust in Christ, there is nothing left but judgment and eternal damnation, because you are unable to save yourselves. You know exactly what all of this earthly harassment is like. Every day you are harassed by those who sin against you. You are harassed by the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh as you fall into sins great and small. You are harassed by a sinful and dying body that, if it hasn't started doing it yet, it will every day remind you that you're getting one day closer to the grave. And you're helpless to do anything about it. You wander around like sheep without a shepherd, lost, chasing after and serving every false god that comes along in the world. You know your transgressions. The law points them out to you, what you have done and what you have left undone. And when you examine yourself against the Ten Commandments, as we talked earlier downstairs regarding confession, you stand accused and condemned to death. My, aren't you and me a poor, miserable lot? And to use the words of St. Paul, wretched people that we are, who will save us from this body of death? Well, thanks be to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For in his great foreknowledge, our Lord saw you helpless and harassed, and he had compassion on you. And to be sure, as a Christian, the world watches you to see how you react to his compassion. They watch you to see how you deal with the physical and emotional effects of living in this broken and sinful world. They see your broken body and they hear your emotional baggage that you pour out in conversation. And so they watch closely to see who is it that you ultimately trust and have faith in for your deliverance. They can look at you on the outside, but God alone sees your sin-stained and darkened heart. And he alone can heal you and save you into eternal life. It's God alone who can, And it is God alone who already has done so. For God shows his love for you, that even while you were already still a sinner, Christ went to Calvary's cross to take your punishment and to pay your debt with his innocent suffering and his precious blood. God always makes the first move. He saw the children of Israel harassed and helpless in bondage and slavery in Egypt. And he bore them up on eagle's wings and brought them to himself at the foot of Mount Sinai. And there he made a covenant with them to set them apart as his holy people. And in that very same way, our God comes to you. He sees you harassed and helpless in the bondage of your sin and transgression. And he bears you up on his promises of Christ's work of salvation on your behalf. He bears you up in the promises of Christ's work, his keeping of the law perfectly, which you cannot. God sent his Son, Christ Jesus, to bear all of your griefs and your sorrows. St. Peter writes that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. God has spiritually healed and delivered you from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And where did he do that? In the waters of holy baptism, washing you clean, making you holy, and setting you apart. It's where God made his covenant with you, setting you apart as his holy child. In the washing of the water and the word, you were cleansed and made righteous in the blood of the Lamb, declaring you not guilty of all of your sin. So if Christ has declared you not guilty of all your sin because of his shed blood on the cross, how much more will you then be saved from God's wrath? How much more are you saved by Jesus' resurrection from the dead? And more than that, how much more can you rejoice that for the sake of Jesus' sacrificial death, you are reconciled back with the Father? Prior to Christ, you were an enemy of God. And as God's enemy, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, and you could not love God. You could not love anyone. So God came to you and first loved you. He didn't wait for you to get your act together. He didn't wait for you to check off a long list of works and deeds or a long list of social justice activities or sacrificial offerings. No, Jesus comes to you and he pours out his compassion out of the abundance of his grace and the free gift of his righteousness. Now, talk is cheap. Perhaps this morning you do not feel his compassion. Perhaps you feel lost and abandoned. But dear Christian, those are the attacks of the devil. Repent and remember your baptismal promises. Cling to God's promises that he made you in those covenantal waters, that Jesus forgives you all of your sins. Then drown your old Adam in those baptismal waters and arise. Die to sin and your evil desires and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. God, just as he made a covenantal promise with Israel, he made a covenantal promise to you. He has set you apart as his own child. You are no longer to conform to the patterns of this world, but to live in a way that is holy and acceptable to him. Not because your holy living earns you any more salvation. No, Christ won it all for you on the cross. But living a godly and holy life is God's good and pleasing will for your life. He has blessed you in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he has chosen you in him before the foundation of the world, that you should be holy and blameless before him. So you are set apart. And in Paul's words, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. It is God's grace alone that you are saved through faith. But faith is never alone. Faith always pours out good works and deeds. And as your neighbor watches you, a confessing Christian, how you deal with the emotional and physical effects of this fallen world, what is it that they do see? Do they see someone who's hopeless and helpless and harassed? Or do they see someone who is borne up by the one who has compassion on you, borne up by the promise of the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, that Christ has won for you in his life, death, and resurrection? When they are harassed by the effects of sin, do you leave them lying in the ditch, suffering and leaving there harassed? Or are you there to bind up their wounds and help them and point them to Jesus? Or do you point them to the false shepherds of the world, or to the good shepherd who heals every disease and affliction of body and soul, the shepherd who alone can lead them into eternal life? As Jesus says in our text this morning, the time is short. There is work to be done. The harvest is plentiful, and the workers are few. All you have to do is look at your neighbor, your unbelieving neighbor, or turn on the news, and you see many people who are harassed and helpless. They are ripe for harvest, in need of forgiveness and salvation through Christ Jesus. So pray that the Lord would send workers into the harvest fields. And if you feel that you are being called into the office of the Holy Ministry, come and see me. But not all are called into the office. But just because God has not called you into the office does not mean that you are not sent into the harvest. You are sent into those harvest fields every day in your vocation and station in life. You have been set apart to do the works of God, the works of God's child, to do those works that he has prepared in advance for you to do, and to proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. From before the foundations of the world, our Lord saw you harassed and helpless and had compassion on you. He showed his love for you that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you in the very same way he died for your unbelieving neighbor. And that neighbor is ripe for harvest. But how could that neighbor come to the knowledge of the truth in Jesus without someone going into the harvest and proclaiming Christ and teaching his word? How will they know that they have a compassionate Savior who loves them, who died for them, and who forgives them? For all who cling to Christ's compassion and sacrifice, all this work that Christ did on their behalf, clinging to it by faith, our Lord pours out an abundance of grace, all his gifts won for you on Calvary's cross: forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and everlasting life. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.